We're going to sing this song again that we sang yesterday that was Brother Norm's favorite, The Day Dawns. And I, you know, have often thought about how Brother Norm would pray, Lord, finish your work in me, and what that means. You know, that means more fire. That means more trials. That means that perfecting, finishing work, which is painful. And I'm just, you know, so thankful that the Lord had him as such a shining example for us. And I'm thankful that he did, you know, I think from what June had heard, he had had a visit with a chaplain, and then he was, you know, in his bed and just closed his eyes and went to be with Jesus. And what a, you know, what a wonderful way to meet our Savior. And I'm thankful for that. And I know the Lord did finish his work in him, and that God give us the grace for that to be the prayer of all of our hearts. Just a few thoughts today. I entitled this A False Accusation. And the theme I have is, don't say God has been silent when your Bible hasn't been opened. Don't say God has been silent when your Bible hasn't been opened. And this message is really inspired by Norm and Rod. I will give a personal account that this message was inspired by what I feel like I have gone through, because when Rod was first diagnosed, there was a long period of time from the time of diagnosis and when Rod left us.
it was a long, what if you're on a plane, you're going down the runway. There was a long runway. And when I found out about it, that was after we were already very sad about Andrew's aunt having the exact same kind of cancer. And what I did with it was not turn it over to the Lord really immediately. There was a lot of time. I just sort of ruminated on the sadness of Rod, hope that something could be done to extend Rod's life because that's what he seemed to want. And I really didn't turn things over to the Lord. I really saw this as a trial that I just wanted to think about. And then we have Norm all this, you know, time later. We have Norm, and to me, I'm still in shock about Norm. This was fast. I mean, as Steve has said, you know, a month ago, Norm was not in this condition. And less than a year ago, Norm was living on his own, driving his car. And I'm just in mourning over Norm. The phrase I used was he was uncompromisingly attentive to the things of God and just absolutely faithful to this church. He was always here. I mean, I can't think of times where Norm went even on a trip. In any event, in that instance, I said, I'm not going to do the same thing again and turn my eyes away from the Lord on something sad. And so I've really, with Norm, really turned to the Lord. As soon as I feel sad, I've been turning to the Lord, and I've learned how important that is. So don't say God has been silent when your Bible hasn't been opened. I became so sad over Rod and other things going on in life, including Andrew's aunt. And pretty soon it was just eating away at me, and it began to eat away at my own spiritual view of God. Why did God let this happen? If I would have just kind of turned my grief over to God in the first place, I don't think that would have happened. But I want to be what the commentary in Timothy says. This is by A.S. Copley. The crowning glory of godliness is this: a special company of saints, tried and trained, subdued by disappointments and mellowed by suffering, who learn to reign in this life through abundant grace, will reign with Christ as Queen of the Ages. And so he also talks in here about pure, unfeigned faith that comes from inside, it's not put on, it's not prepared, it's not created, it's not fake, false. It is Holy Spirit-led growth in Christ. And that's what I want. And I have to see that things that go wrong in life are one of God's ways of accomplishing that. But it means I have to turn to God. So how do we get to where A.S. Copley said that's the epitome of a Christian's life on earth? How do we get there? Maybe through the testing, the purifying, the growing of the faith that God has given us through trials. Turning from God during trials just makes everything worse. That's what I learned between Rod and between Norm, is turning from God, not to God. I was really turning away from God during the first part of when I learned about Rod. It just makes everything worse. That's not what God intends for trials. My Bible is, of course, the pure word of God. It's part diary, though. I write things to keep track of things, and I take notes. And I wanted to read to you something I was looking at yesterday. I wasn't able to make it to Norm's visitation. So page 992 of my Bible. Sometimes I date things, sometimes I don't. So on May 4th of 2025, Rod was at church and he spoke in tongues. That's what I wrote down. That meant something to me, as it does whenever I hear it. I also have an undated reference to Penny. I said, I love Penny Martinez so much. I don't know when I wrote it. Then I wrote one yesterday, March 2026. My favorite all-time YMCA is in Salina, Kansas. And then I have a note, when God changes the normal course of things, that's a miracle. And then I have a note, God uses experiences to minister to us. God uses experiences to minister to us. Do I really think that God let Rod be in my life just because? No. Did I really think that God let Norm be in my life, that God let Norm be in our lives? Faithful, 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 a lover of the word, a lover of the Lord, just because? No, the Lord knew. So when the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, he has sympathy for us. Norm isn't here. Rod isn't here. I'm grieving. He has sympathy for us, but if I don't turn to take that sympathy, I'm going to lose out. So why? Why do I sometimes not turn to the Lord in trials? He uses experience to minister to us. So why don't I turn to him immediately to be ministered to from an experience. I don't know. I did some thinking about this. Sometimes I'm angry. I wasn't happy to hear about Rod's diagnosis. I was resentful. How in the world would the Lord allow two people very important to me to have the same kind of cancer? Sometimes I think it's about control, that when I hear something difficult, I want to control it. I want to remunerate on it. I want to think about it. It's a way of controlling it. And sometimes I think it's just the pure tendency of the flesh to not turn to God over something, not turn to God in a trial. 1 Corinthians 2:14, chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's the flesh. The flesh fights against us turning to God for comfort in a trial. Romans 6:13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Neither yield my own instruments, thinking, doing, heart, whatever. Don't yield them to my own fleshly sorrow. Turn to God. Turn to God. We will experience needless hardship if we shut God out of the grieving process. That's really the essence of the message. If we don't turn to God, the sorrow will eat us like a canker, making things so much harder. So I found some scriptures where I feel like that concept was being given. Psalm chapter 13, verse 2. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? But the phrase, how long shall I take counsel in my soul? When there's a difficult situation, no counsel in my soul, go to God. Don't rely on your own understanding. Don't rely on your own sort of coping techniques. Go to God first. Now, maybe God will use a beloved saint to give you comfort. Maybe God will, I think God will use the scripture. Did I do that with Rod? Not so much. Did I look in the scripture? Not so much. You know what? God was never silent in my grief over lost ones. He was never silent. The Bible's always there to speak. Don't say God has been silent when your Bible hasn't been opened. He's there to give comfort. Psalm chapter 32, verse 3. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. When I don't turn to God, it's just going to end up in a worse place. Job chapter 7, verses 4 and 5. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise and the night be gone? Job doesn't want to rest, and I am full of tossing to and fro unto the dawning of the day. He's not able to handle his grief on his own. Yet from that verse, it sounds like he's kind of trying to. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. This is also in chapter 7. Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. That's somebody who's grieving. When I say my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaints, that just doesn't work. You know, it doesn't work. And really, friends around us who just want to give us comfort with, well, we have a life on earth and like a butterfly, we must fly away sometimes. I mean, that no comfort, no comfort in that. Take comfort in the Lord. Take comfort in his word, the things of God. When we turn to God, we can say, like the psalmist says in chapter 37, verses 4 to 6, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. He will give us the right perspective how to have when we're going through a trial. Psalm chapter 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Turn to the Lord to have your steps through a trial drawn out. Let him do it. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's verse 25 of chapter 37 and verse 26. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. That's what happens when we turn over our grief unto the Lord. Now, maybe all of you have learned that you immediately turn over your trials to the Lord. Maybe it's just me who doesn't. But I'm telling you, if you ever have a tendency to keep things inside, ruminate, just think about them. No, turn to the Lord. Tell him your grief. He will never tire of hearing about your grief. Now I have some other thoughts that this This came yesterday. I was at this convention of Dan's Christian Motorcyclists Association, and it was at a church. It was at a Nazarene church in Salina and everything. So there's some truth. I mean, there is. There's some truth, but for the most part, it doesn't go very deep. And I was talking to a friend of his, and he's a good man. He's a very good man. And I mentioned that I needed to give a message on Sunday afternoon. He said, well, that's interesting. He said, our pastor, he goes to a Baptist church on Kansas Avenue. Our pastor's gone. I have to give the Sunday morning sermon. I said, well, I hope, you know, everything goes well. And he said, well, I'm not worried about it because I have, and I wrote this down. He said, I went on Amazon and I bought something called sermon outlines for a busy pastor. He said, so I'm just going to be fine tomorrow. I went on Amazon and I bought sermon outlines for a busy pastor. And I really think he would have like loaned me one. And I said, oh, okay. Inside, I'm just almost chuckling. Sermon outlines for a busy pastor. Is there something more important than preparing a nourishing lesson that would make a pastor too busy to be open and yielded to God for a lesson? That you would go to Amazon? I'm not trying to be judgmental. Go to Amazon to get a message? And I thought to myself, this just makes me so thankful. I come to this church, I come Sundays, I come Wednesdays, and there is a message straight from God, direct sourced. Not from Amazon, not from Jeff Bezos, not from who knows what. I didn't pay for it, and it is straight from God. It is the pure word of God, rightly divided, given out in the message, in a message that is driven by the Holy Spirit. I think about Ray, who I try to listen to on Tuesdays and Thursdays. There is no way that AI, Amazon, whatever, could ever create the messages that are inspired, that are creative, poetic. That's from the Holy Spirit to a yielded vessel. I think about Penny. How many times have I had something going on in my life and I came to Sunday school and I heard direction I needed from Penny? On point. There's just no way you're going to get that from Amazon. No way. This is the work of the Lord. And when this man's name is Phil, when he said, oh, I'm not worried about it. I've got an outline I bought from Amazon. I thought, my goodness, I don't want to take for granted what we have in this church. And I think about Norm. I mean, he taught the Bible study a lot. Frankie is so faithful to teach that Bible study. A lot of people have been faithful to come in. And they are opening their hearts to a message God would have them give, direct sourced. Anyway, I just, when Phil said, oh, well, I'm fine. I've got an outline from Amazon. I had to chuckle. So personalized. The Lord, he knows what goes on in this church. And I think that it is very much often personalized to what we need. And today, Penny said in her message, I'm giving out what he laid on my heart. Penny doesn't go to Amazon for her messages. Penny doesn't do that. Jean doesn't do that. Others don't do that. I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm trying to be thankful what we have in this church. Yielded hearts, spiritually walking people. If it were up to me, I'm sure that like if I had to do something every week, week in and week out, that wouldn't go on very far because I would be, something would be distracting to me, something. I don't want to take the church for granted. I don't want to take that at all. First-hand, direct-sourced, Holy Spirit-inspired, very, very blessed. Galatians chapter 1, verse 12 says, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So I'm thankful for that in this church. And so I'll end on the theme I started with, which is, don't falsely accuse God of being silent or letting a trial happen to you, and then he disappears. It's up to you to handle it. Don't. We have him. And this experience with Norm, I have learned. As soon as I'm sad, I turn to the Lord and I pray. As soon as I'm sad thinking of this, because again, it's just kind of shocking. If I have a certain person tell me one more time, well, he was 89 years old, I'm just going to have a nickel every time I hear that. I don't care if he was 89 years old. I'm sad. And I do think the Lord preserved him, and he preserved him for him. He preserved him for us. So the Lord chose this was the time. This was Norm's time. And I will say, I was there with Mom and Sarah the Friday before he died. And Norm, I thought his coloring looked great. He seemed happy. He you know, I'm glad I have that image. That Tuesday, 2 days before that, Dan and I tried to go see him in the hospital at Research Medical Center. And, you know, there's a lot of security there, so we had to give our IDs. And they kept saying, no, there's no one by that name here. And I kept saying, no, he just had a pacemaker, had something to do with the pacemaker. He's here. Here's the room number, I think. No, there's no one there. So they called up to the floor. Yep, there is. So, I mean, that took about 20 minutes. So we went up to the floor. I went the wrong way. We end up walking. It felt like 5 minutes to get to the room. And I almost, being me, just barged in. But thankfully, I noticed there were medical personnel, and I didn't go in the room, which was good because Norm wasn't there. It was a woman, in fact, although she really looked like a man to me. But I didn't go in. So I go out in the hall. No, Norm. And, you know, I thought, has Norm passed on? And we didn't know it. That's what I first thought. And I just he didn't. He didn't pass on. He was on his way back to Belton. But you know, maybe in a way the Lord was sort of working on my heart, because I truly thought Norm was going to come out of this and we would still have him. He just always was there. Always there. But anyway, I'm very thankful for Norm. I'm very thankful for this church. I'm very thankful for Spirit-led people who do not rely on Amazon for their messages at this church. And I'm very thankful for the Lord, because I am learning. I can turn over my griefs, my sorrows. He doesn't get tired of them. He doesn't say, Norm was 89, you just need to get over this. He doesn't say that. He just gives comfort to my heart. But I've learned that if I don't look to him and I let that go on, my heart gets kind of hardened. And then that becomes a battle in and of itself. It's an obstacle to overcome. So those are my few things, or I mean thoughts. And so I guess now we would have a closing song, or we would say we might just not have a closing song, and we might just go outside where it's so beautiful. So let's just have a closing prayer, and I'll call on Kara to pray.